another day is come and gone, and another evening is here. Good evening and welcome to another installment of Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Thank you for being here with us this evening, live on this second day of June 2011. Monday is the anniversary of something called D-Day, which some of you were around and were young children or teenagers living through. You're listening to us live this evening on RBN, the Republic Broadcast Network. Glad to have you here. We have a guest who will be joining us after the break. Our good friend Bill O'Brien will be with us. Taking a look at a number of interesting things. I got a good number of calls on this issue this morning. Now, I want you to consider this. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down nearly, 269 or 289 points. The NASDAQ was down. The S&P 500 was down. The global Dow was down. Well, guess what, my friends? It's happened again today. The Dow was off another 42 points. NASDAQ was up 4. S&P 500 down 2 today. Global down, a Dow down 19. Oil is up another 35 cents a barrel. And yet what happened this morning? We woke up this morning watching our little friends back east play games with the values of gold and silver. Now, what sense does that possibly make to anyone? Well, very little to an awful lot of us. Currently, gold is in the aftermarket down 30 cents at $1,533.50. Silver even at $36.15. Platinum off 2 at $18.10. Palladium down 10 at $7.59. Rhodium, it was up again today, closing at $2,275. So obviously, the continuation of the manipulation goes on. None of it makes a darn bit of sense. For those of you who are regular readers and visitors to Republic Trading Group International.com, you'll note I did not go in with the normal headlines today. Part of it was time considerations. Part of it is I now am under the gun 24 hours from now. My new office comes in. But I found a very interesting column that actually was published some weeks ago called We Become a Nation of Takers, Not Makers. And when I heard a rumor today that Coca-Cola wants to move their manufacturing operations lock, stock, and barrel to China. We'll talk more about it when we come back with Bill O'Brien. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny, and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
You know, one of the things I liked in yesterday's news reports is how the private sector had announced that they had employed 38,000 new jobs last month. And, you know, one of the headlines that comes out today says that stocks close mixed on weak retail sales and high unemployment. They just can't figure out from one day to the next which way it is. Unlike our guest this evening, Bill O'Brien knows exactly which way it is from day to day. Bill, welcome to the program.
Interesting day in the news, isn't it?
It certainly is. It seems it's been so long since you and I have talked, it seems like 20 minutes or something.
Time just goes by.
Boy, it does. It's, I watched this stuff and I shared with you when we spoke, there was a couple things that I wanted to briefly cover. And unfortunately, one of them I've lost. I'll find it again here in just a second. But what have you been up to this last week? I know you've been watching the prison reports and the stuff that's coming out of there. Wasn't you that told me this thing about Coca-Cola? What's going on here?
Well, we were discussing this about Coca-Cola is now on the Shanghai, is listing its shares on the Shanghai Stock Exchange. And because of the global, well, actually they're going for a global market because they see the long-term decline in the U.S. economy over the last 10 years, and they just decided it's time to bail out.
Interesting.
Well, you know, it's just part of the trend. I found it very interesting to see many Western companies also to follow suit. I was looking at the business news under the, I don't know where you found yours, but I'm looking at the Guardian. This seems to be the headliners that seems to cover the news that doesn't want to be covered in the domestic news wires.
Right.
I was listening to the close of the bell, and they weren't talking too much about this. They were just talking about the fact that, number one, that they're putting the soft sell to the fact that we are in a flat line, if not a continued depressed economy. And they were trying to put the kibosh on the fact that the retail sales is merely an indicator that here we are in the beginning of the vacation season, and they're looking at a flat retail sales when they're actually projecting that what they're saying is that the winter prognostication around Christmas doesn't look good.
You know, it is interesting that you use the term flatline. In your profession, the medical profession, the term flatline has interesting meanings of its own, which means basically DOA, dead on arrival, dead, kaput. They've kicked the bucket. Can we pretty much say the same thing for the economy in this nation and in many nations around the world?
Well, I tell you what, Jeff, it's really apparent to me that we're seeing a government on the state as well as the federal level that refuses to address the obvious. And because of that, people continue to suffer. I was listening to PCN television, and that's Pennsylvania Cable News Network, and they were talking about the Pennsylvania budget. Something significant occurred here. under the latest and greatest budget that's been approved by the state and the governor, they were talking about how the fact that they have increased in the budget welfare is cut to $2 billion. Now, at the same time, they're talking about how they're kicking off 100,000 people off of Medicaid. Now, why did I bring this up? Think about this. They have these sentencing guidelines, and they're restructuring the sentences now, and they're doing their best to kick people off of the prison dole because of the changing in the Supreme Court in California, as well as this move to get people out of prison in Pennsylvania to get things in line. So remember I told you in previous programs, Jeff, this is just a revolving door or a three-legged milk stool where prisoners are bounced either into the prison to make it look like they're getting the welfare numbers under control, or they bounce them out, and then they let welfare absorb them, as well as Social Security and other federal programs absorb these things, or the illegal immigrant industry absorb them, and then it just goes round robin. So here we have prison population being reduced, but nothing really changes because the cost savings they're going to ballyhoo it is going to actually be absorbed in the welfare system. And
you know,
really,
you just allow me to interrupt for a second.
Yes, sir.
You just hit me with a statement that has never dawned on me. You and I have had this discussion personally and on the air on and off now for 6-7 years, Bill, that how the numbers are so convoluted in this country, inflation numbers, which during the early days of the Reagan administration, after the fiasco years of Jimmy Carter, they eliminated oil and food from the inflation figures, and these are the two greatest causes of inflation, the increased cost in these areas, cost of living, etc. The other things we've talked about is how unemployment numbers are totally misrepresented, because once an individual is no longer eligible for unemployment, they are now put on the welfare rolls. That's not considered unemployment. That's how they can keep those numbers down. But what you just brought up, it never dawned on me. Once somebody goes to prison, they're not part of welfare rolls. They're not part of the unemployment rolls.
That's
nothing.
Right.
That's another way they're keeping those numbers down.
They're cooking.
Very interesting.
They're cooking the entire project. And what's really amazing is where the whole thing is going to. Because quite frankly, we have a prison system that now, it's kind of interesting. The EPA, as we talked earlier today, was picking on Pennsylvania prisons to the tune of telling them that their boilers were not compliant with EPA standards, and they whacked them, not only in four prisons to improve their boiler systems, but also they're hitting with a $300,000 fine. And you may say, what's that got to do with us? You know, it's just one hand washes the other. It's just money changing hands on a computer screen. Well, remember, what happens behind these prison walls happens later. And what's going to happen is when they start outsourcing these prisoners into the green economy and get them involved and integrated in this greening of the economy, because it sounds so nebulous and so sweet, but the truth of the matter is, well, this is more federal mandation into encroachment into your lifestyle. These people are going to be snitching people out, and the whole system is going to start requiring people to have their entire infrastructure in their own homes to be green compliant. Now you have Obama with these ubiquitous credits for getting appliances, but the next step is to start mandating these. That's where this is going, Jeff.
Now, correct me if I'm not mistaken, you had mentioned something when we spoke 30, 40 minutes ago. I put you off because I didn't want to get into it at that point in time. I said, let's hold it for airtime.
Okay.
But I think it had something to do with, did it have something to do with manufacturing training and education going on within the prison systems? And, yeah. And a lot, before you get into that, let me explain to the audience that for those who may be listening to this program for the first time who have never heard Bill before, Bill retired recently as nearly a 20-year male nurse within the prison system out there in America. And he's worked at various different prisons around the country. And some of the horror stories he's told about, you know, the illnesses that prisoners come in there with, and unfortunately, in many cases, how they're treated or mistreated, in some cases causing death. But we've had many economic discussions over the years. Bill and I have been doing programs now since, I think, about 2004. In fact, I think the 1 year you came and actually stayed at my house, we did a live broadcast from my studios out there. Mm-hmm. And it just seems to me that there is the things that I have learned, and our audience who's followed with us all these times have certainly learned that prisons almost seem to be a guinea pig for what is eventually going to be taken to the streets, whether it is forced inoculations or forms of health care, whether it's economics. You know, we talk about how few products are made in this country. You've taught me that there's a lot of products made in this country, but they're made behind prison walls for very cheap prices, and they're yep. being sold as if their costs were hundreds of times greater than what it really was. So yep. talk to us a little bit about this new education system going on within the system.
Well, what's really going on, it's amazing. This emanates actually, it initiates out of the Pew Charitable Trust. Now, the Pew organization is quoted many times for their very on-target studies, but, you know, it's amazing. If you try to find out a lot about who the Pew organization really is and where their money is coming from that's funding these, it gets to be very cryptic. And when essentially the Pew Institute comes out of Philadelphia, and there's a lot of, let's just say, Rockefeller money, Rothschild money that funds
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's an aside. We're not going to focus on that. But the thing is, they have a latest study is that it's called the Clean Energy Economy, Repowering Jobs, Businesses, and Investments Across America. And in this analysis, they are talking about the going of the green economy. And part of this involves educating and rehabilitating people of the low and moderate skilled green job venue and using inmates, training inmates to do this, and ex-offenders in green job skills, namely weatherization, building and retrofitting, manufacturing, landscaping, solar panel assembly and installation, which means this stuff that exists behind prison bars, plumbing and electrical help, apprentices, and cleaning businesses using environmental friendly products. And this is it's called the Prisoner Entrepreneurship Program.
I would like that. You mean if I've got to interview a plumber for work in my house, I can ask him, by the way, did you learn your trade behind prison walls? What were you in prison for? Home robbery. Oh,
you know,
I
really
want to hire that guy.
Yeah. This is emanating, knowing in the prison, that what I just mentioned is emanating out of the Texas prison system, but also out of the correctional institutions in Kentucky. So they're getting their inroads in, and they're doing things. And this thing of it is, it's going to compete with other people who are doing this, but also it also sounds to me like a backdoor federal mandate to get people to buy into this green technology, which you can be sure that the powers that are behind the financing of our politicians have been getting on board all along while they've been screaming about oil.
I actually spoke about you on the air the other night because a headline came out that some states are now looking at taxing so-called green vehicles because of all the oil revenues or gasoline tax revenues they're losing. And so I openly said to the audience, that means my good friend Bill driving around in his Prius is now going to have to pay a higher tax because he's using no gasoline.
I sold it, buddy. At a profit.
Oh, that's right. You did.
To pay for the infernal Obama tax that I had, the extra $13,900 that I had to cough up because of our economic prosperity program, recovery program, thanks to you, to the abomination that's in the White House.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's kind of interesting. You have all kind of news. Arkansas is reducing prison population. Arizona, believe it or not, has a that was back in February. They had a request for procurement services because they're planning on they want bids for to build new privately run minimum to medium security prisons in your state. You know that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure you're up to speed on that because they're going through the back door. In other words, what they're saying is they want us, you know, they want to subsidize and give tax credits to companies such as American Service Group to build prisons, and then they're going to make a profit at taxpayers' expense. Oh, by the way.
Well, we all know that's going to happen, but I find it interesting only the comment you just made about Arkansas's prison population is declining. Are they really declining, or are they doing what you and I have spoken about
they're
in the past?
Them out. Are they, and putting them on the
are
welfare
they renting roads. Them out or leasing them out to other prison systems around the country?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting that we all know that who the number one incarceration state is. That's California. They have 335,000 lifers, if you didn't know that.
Now, this is at the state or the federal level?
State. Well, guess who's number two? The second fastest growing prison population is actually in West Virginia.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, you can.
So the coal business is dying, but the prison business is increasing.
They have one
West
of the highest. They are one of the highest welfare countries, but these people don't have any work, so they're committing crimes, and now they want. They're still booming. The West Virginia Department of Corrections will need an additional 8,500 beds by the end of 2012. And 10,300 by 2017 at the present rate. And they want to, they didn't meet the minimum sentencing guidelines, and so they continue having mandatory sentencing. And, quite frankly, they have got to, come up with more facilities. And,
we're certainly aware of the fact that I believe that in the prison population in California, I think it's 30 to 35% of that population happen to be illegal aliens.
That's right.
Now, this becomes more interesting. I had a long talk with a longtime listener and friend in Paul up in Barre, Massachusetts this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the way back from the dentist. Just had to go in for a consultation and discussion about what the next step of the work on my foul mouth is. And you folks out there can take that any way you want. I really don't care. Very interesting comment he made to me that was prison related, and it had to do with Janet Napolitano, the Secretary of Homeland Security, who of course is running around the country telling everybody that the U.S.-Mexican border is more secure now than ever before, which we all know is absolute bunk, but. The announcement she made is that, quote, if we have illegal aliens in the prisons in this country today, we want to find out where they are and who they are so that we can begin to assist them in getting them their legal papers.
Yeah, I remember talking
what?
About I heard that myself 3 days ago, and we were talking about that, too. Yeah, they went Janet Napolitano was on the air, and I was listening to her. It was actually on MSNBC, and she was talking about she wants to get these people, find out who they are so they can get them into the immigration system. This is Homeland in the immigration paperwork. This is Homeland Security. Homeland Security. Mm. What are they doing with INS paperwork? What are they
exactly.
Determining? Why are they determining who becomes a legal immigrant and who doesn't?
Which just goes to tell you that the security of this homeland is the absolute last thing they have in their minds. This is what people don't get. Janet Napolitano, who was born and raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico, became the governor. Well, first of all, she was sent to Arizona by Attorney General Janet Reno to be a federal prosecutor. She ultimately went on, became the governor of Arizona. So you tell me that she does not understand the devastation and the cost of the illegal invasion of America, considering right here in Arizona,
it's
at the storm front of it, even to the point that when she was governor, she continued to send bills to and demand payment for the federal government for its portion of incarcerating these illegal aliens, because obviously when we're doing it even as a state, we were in fact enforcing federal law. Now all of a sudden she's the first governor to jump on the Obama bandwagon when he's running for president, and she's the first one that gets called out and tapped, gets the job at Homeland Security. Everything she has ever done in the past has been flushed down the drain to kiss this usurper's rear end and do his bidding. This is just appalling to me.
This has been going on since he got in. It's a velvet glove covering a sledgehammer.
Bush didn't do a lot better. Come on.
Oh,
we both know that.
He's that lackey. Everything he touches, he ruined. He ruined Texas, and he ruined the Texas Rangers. You know, he's too incompetent, too stupid to be as thoroughly corrupt as, say, like Henry Kissinger or even his father.
I agree.
I mean, Daddy's been the one running the White House for 8 years that he was in because he was just too stupid. And he's drunk.
Well, but Daddy didn't need to run it. He had Dick Cheney in there. Dickie was doing the job.
Yeah, absolutely. He was. He was running everything. We both know that. But we've got ourselves a real conundrum in this prison system. And really, it's amazing because we've all become callous to everything that's going on. Particularly on you, we talk so much about everything. It just sometimes it glosses over, and I think we do our listeners a disservice because we don't talk about these details enough because we've gone over them time and time, and they're in our minds. But it's something I wanted to impress upon you is, and your listeners, is what we discussed a few days ago too. Is that I was talking to a nurse who was back to medical care. They were treating a fellow who had developed a severe allergy to Bactrim. Bactrim is a broad-spectrum antibiotic that's used for a lot of urinary tract infections and quite effectively, too. It's part of the HIV protocol, and we've used it many times for people who've developed urinary tract infections from doing a little recreation and behind bars, if you know what I'm saying.
With the female guards, no doubt.
Actually, they get it from when they're checking out the back doors.
All right.
Well, anyway, we'll talk about this on the other side. This is pretty appalling. The content.
Yeah, we're going to go to a break, and we come back. We're going to probably the first time in 7 years, Bill and I have done this show together, that we've ever even touched on this subject. So stay with us. We will be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Theravim. Theravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Theravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers, and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit Theravim.com.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times you hear these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. Using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because it's in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome back. A little clarinet action sliding into some Billie Holiday. Jeff Bennett here on Life, Liberty, and all that jazz. Bill O'Brien's with us. Bill, we're going to go back to your story in just a moment.
Absolutely.
A couple of quick things. I just received a couple of emails while on the air. One is an announcement. I guess both of them would be considered that. I've had a contributing writer to the Federal Observer for a good number of years, a gentleman named Ramsey Baroud.
Okay.
And Ramsey is basically, let's call him an expatriate from Gaza, born and raised in Palestine, is a Palestinian, an extremely well-educated, versatile man. He publishes a newspaper, but he was basically booted out of his own country.
Okay.
He's been away for 17 years. Last week or 2 weeks ago, he was allowed to return to his homeland for the first time in 17 years. His first report is published at federalobserver.com right now. I have a second report coming up. About an hour ago, I sent him an email inviting him to come on this program. Not today, of course. But, Bill, we've had these conversations many times. There's so many people, even in the alternative media, who want to spend all this time discussing the Jews and Israel and Zionists, et cetera, and that's all well and good if it's done with a degree of intelligence, but rarely, if ever, do we hear from the other side. Ramsey Baroud has agreed to come on this program. We are working out a schedule right now. Sometime in the next 2 weeks, he will be joining us for an exclusive 1 hour with him. I am looking so forward to this. I have just, I'm absolutely in love with his wife, Susie. She's a real doll, and she's quite a writer in her own right. So we'll keep the audience apprised as to when that's going to come up. And Bill, I think you'll enjoy that program when it happens.
Oh, yeah. Looking
Secondly, I just received an email from Steve Voss.
Oh, really? How's Steve doing?
Steve has an alter ego named Buck Howdy.
Okay.
Steve was ostracized from the music industry many years ago because of his political stance and the righteous direction of his music. He had a huge contract with RCA Records, and he was getting ready to go on a big showcase 20 minutes before he was scheduled to go on stage. His attorney contacted him and said, "You've been canceled. You're out. You're not going on." Anyway, many of us know Steve from the old days of the preparedness expos. And Steve, some years later, took on an alter ego named Buck Howdy. Buck Howdy was a character developed to predominantly do music for children. And he's done extremely well with it. He's won an amazing number of Grammys because of this work. And I want to take just a moment, we're going to go back to your story here, to give some people around the country some upcoming schedules of Steve's appearances, not only as himself, Steve Voss, but as Buck Howdy. On June the 8th, which is next Wednesday, I believe, he will be appearing at the Chicago Botanical Garden at 5:30 p.m. as Buck Howdy. On June the 9th, he will be at the Martin Library in Martin, Michigan. That is a free concert at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. June the 9th, in the evening, Steve Voss will be performing as himself at the Addison Fire Hall No. 3 in Devil's Lake, Michigan. June the 10th, also as Steve Voss, at the Kenwood Fellowship Church in Kenwood, Ohio. That is also a free concert. And finally, on June the 12th at 6 p.m. at the Hebron Baptist Church in Spotsylvania, Virginia, a free concert. So for those of you who are within striking distance, do yourself a favor. Go on out and enjoy an evening of some fun family music and, in fact, some marvelous patriotic music. Anyway, Bill was starting to tell us about a patient who was on a medicine that he'd been prescribed, I guess, for urinary tract infection, which, if we can figure this out, to put it cleanly, was probably contracted due to some backdoor entries, either on his body or his against someone else's.
Well, let's just give him the benefit of the doubt. Just say he had a cold or something like that. We'll keep it clean. Well, anyway, he developed a reaction to it. And we're not talking just little sniffles. He developed huge hives over all his body, weeping, excoriation, itching, the whole nine yards. He was absolutely miserable. And so some of the nurses decided it was a good idea to start putting some kind of ointment on it, Silvadine and other things to help relieve the itching and burning. And they've been wrapping it with gauze and doing that once in the evening. Well, one of the nurses who's gets out a joint, she's rigidly fixated, though a good nurse, she said there was no doctor. He came up one time and says, there's no doctor's order, I'm not going to do it. And she wouldn't even call for a doctor's order, even though that's nursing protocol. Well, his condition continued to get so bad, and the fact that she was refusing time and time again to give him this treatment, that he actually got a lawyer and sued, and state attorney general started crawling off the jails, hind end, up one side and down another, and got everybody on the same page. Well, the other night, this fellow all of a sudden starts developing a fever, and they thought it was just something that's coincidental related to the infection, and they were just going to call for a Tylenol order, even though they were delaying to do it. Well, he died. That's right, he
died.
This
is just a few nights ago.
Yeah, he died. And what did two of the day shift nurses do? They started applauding and jumping and started clapping and glad-handing each other because their trouble was now over. Now, I mention this only because this is the kind of callous attitude that's developing because we're exposed to this every day, and we lose the notion that these people have sentience and value. And you can't lose sight of this because we're going to eventually be part of this problem. I mean, I'm seeing it myself, how being retired now, how little things are just being whittled away at. When folks like that, who you're supposed to expect a degree of sensitivity to, have this kind of callousness, you know, this is not called for, Jim.
Not at all.
You know, I still, you know, they're human beings before they're prisoners. Granted, we're talking about people who are doing things and will continue to do things that are contrary to what I and you will do, but nevertheless, when they're, you know, you're treating a person first and a prisoner second. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me that our medical program in the prison system is becoming so callous. And these are people who were at one time more in tune to the needs of people than they are now. And that's troubling to me. Because that means this kind of stuff is going to come towards us in our medical business. We're seeing it now. We're just the number when we deal with the insurance companies. But, you know, when your frontline people start developing this coldness, and we got a real problem here.
Well, it's you know, it's the same old thing. Number one, I think that people have become so jaded in this country. It matters not what their profession is. It matters not in what environment they work in. Here's a man who suffered, who was probably diagnosed correctly, but. Semantics or the meaning of words or procedural nonsense took place, which made it impossible for this man to be properly treated. So mm-hmm. the guy kicks the bucket, and you get a bunch of people standing around applauding the fact, well, this is one less fat slob we have to take care of.
Pretty much.
If that's your attitude, then it's time to hit the road, Jack. It's time to get out of the industry. But the problem is, I don't think it matters what industry they were in. If these people left the prison industry, and let's face it, prison is an industry in this country today.
Oh, it is.
If they left that industry and got jobs as greeters at Walmart, and somebody walked in the front door and slipped on a puddle of water because it had been raining outside, these people would probably stand there and laugh at them. And so that is more of a personality trait than anything else.
Absolutely. But, you know, what's really bothersome is that I check the wires, and I spend a lot of time seeing where the trends are going. Because there was a time, you know, wasn't it just a few years ago we were worried about the avian flu, and there was mega bucks spent on it, and all of a sudden we've got this other bird flu that we have to worry about, and we're at the forefront of that. And all of a sudden, it's amazing. All that money that's spent, no one holds anybody into account, and it goes down a big rat hole, and people just look at it as though it was yesterday's news. But we've spent tens of millions of dollars on just those projects behind bars, or even preparing for things like the avian flu way back in 2005 when somebody decided that we had a problem with this, which was fictitious from the word go. All this money is wasted, and all this money that could have been used for something more useful, such as getting people back to work in this country, or doing something about the illegal immigration problem. We got a serious problem, and I'm worried about the border patrol more than anything else, because they're taking pot shots, and no one's talking about the problems of the gangs that we have in jail. We got a huge problem with gangs, even though they're under control right now. But the only reason I bring that and dovetail that in with the border patrol is because you can believe that this is all gang related. I mean, the big gangs are really getting these illegals in there. It's a big business. I mean, we're talking huge bucks that they're making, bringing these people across the border, not including how these people are eroding the economy. But these people aren't coming over here out on their own initiative, because we both know what it's like down there along Del Rio and places like that. I mean, you've got literally tens or hundreds of miles of expansive desert with no water or food, and these people are making it across the border. I mean, this is a big business.
Yes, when you first came out here and you and I got together the first year, which I think was 04,
mm-hmm. What?
You took that god-awful train that took the southern route and wound up in Crapamoppa, Arizona, in the middle of nowhere. And of course, that train wound up being, what, 7 hours late or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, what few people realize is those tracks go so far south that I'll guarantee at some point, you had some illegal aliens that were hopping a train to get a free ride north.
Oh yeah,
Number two, you had talked about the avian flu, et cetera, and the amount of money was spent. It seems to me that about 2 years ago we had some other big flu scare in this country, and it wasn't avian. I can't remember what it was called.
It was H1N5.
Yeah, that was the H1N5, and I remember specifically you sharing with my audience at that time literally the warehouse full of those doses of vaccinations for that stuff that was being stored at the prison you were working at that time.
Right.
And, of course, you and I have both read, you more because being in the profession, me from outside, but even with the work that I did with Dr. Kelly for so many years, the horror stories that are out there, and more it's coming to the forefront. Children who have become autistic because of the forced inoculations that they were given as children. This is unbelievable. But
you know,
once again, that's just making busy. It's making money for the pharmaceuticals. It's making money for somebody. But then now we go to the other thing you talked about earlier in the program. And once again, it comes back to the economics. It talks once again about prison life. You and I have spoken about the fact that there is no honest and earnest desire to rehabilitate prisoners in this country. There's no reason for it.
No, there isn't.
Because this is cheap labor for these people to manufacture mattresses and porta potties and whatever else they're making. You and I, one night on the air, were on the air. We're going through an online catalog for various prisons where anybody who worked for any division of a government, a county, a city, a state, a federal, whatever, could literally go to prison online catalogs and order products.
And services,
this is
too.
Just shocking stuff to the average American.
Why should we
rehabilitate anyone when we are guaranteed a multitude of cheap laborers to build our products?
And again, when they talk about the economy on the mainstream news, no one ever addresses the fact that they have this. They're probably saying they're deferring prison costs. No, they're not. No, they're not. The infrastructure is the same whether these factories are in there or not. They use prison industry infrastructure because that's what used to be there, prison industries. We still have it, but it's really controlled, and it's diminished significantly from where it was at. I mean, we had, as I told you, we used to have a dairy. We used to have our own we had parcels of land where we grew vegetables. And I'm talking hundreds of acres. We put these inmates to work and to support themselves. We used to have their own slaughterhouse to get process their own beef and everything. That's all gone. And this now the food is coming from China. I saw the stocks of food in the cafeteria. They come from China. Now ask me why we're taking our food, putting on a boat, sending it over to China, putting it in cans, and bringing it back over to sell here.
Sheesh.
I mean, follow the money. Follow the paper trail. What's going on here? It's insane. It's insane because, again, as I said at work many times, it says they talk about saving money. Everyone talks about we're cutting costs, we're saving money in prisons, but I have yet to see somebody from the Department of Corrections say, this is the money we saved. Here we're cutting a check and we're returning the money from our budget because this is what we saved you this year. It never happened.
But that's never going to happen.
Bill. Oh, no.
You and I spoke about this years ago when I lived in Flagstaff. I was a owner of a security alarm, a company that did security alarm systems for businesses and homes in addition to the business telephone systems. And I had an opportunity to work with the Bureau of Indian Affairs office and spent a number of months working with these people and found a way that I literally could have cut $500,000 a year off of their communications budget.
Wow.
And the guy said, this is $500,000. This is for one little Bureau of Indian Affairs office in Flagstaff, Arizona. And the manager said, we're not in the business of saving money. We're the federal government. Now, how many federal government offices are all over this country that are blowing $500,000 a year per office? Some much larger because they are much larger. But that's the mentality of governments. If they have a budget of $10 million a year and they tighten up what they spend and they're becoming more efficient and they only spend $9 million this year, they not only lose the extra million, but their budget the following year is cut back even further. Governments don't do business that way.
No, there's no incentive to save
money.
Neither
do prisons.
No. This prison is, we're talking hundreds of billions of dollars a year in scope. I mean, it's huge. I mean, we just have a out-of-control system, again, that has no regulation, really, to speak of. They do what they want to do. There's no oversight. There's no critique of what's transpiring, except for you hear some exaggerated stories of prisoners doing, getting a lawsuit. But they've channeled that away. And so it's business as usual, and there's money to be made, and I mean big bucks. The only time they let a lawsuit go out and publicize it and allow it to come to fruition to a law is when there's somebody who's tied into the current administration that has lots to profit by it.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up. I just received an email from Granny. A column was posted today at Canada Free Press called Giving Your Online Identity to Obama. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole thing. There's not enough time here. But it apparently he's got some new program out called Someone's About to Tap You on the Shoulder. if you will make a promise to donate $5 to his reelection campaign, a real person out there is committed to matching that campaign. And, you know, the Pocket Messiah, he knows exactly what he's talking about here. But you know, he says, we don't take campaign money from Washington lobbyists or special interest PACs. We're not just gathering donations here. We're gathering people. And yet Judy McLeod, the column of the piece, goes on talking about identity theft, because what's going to happen is you're going to be able to see the name and the person and address and the town they live in of the person that matched your $5 donation. And it's like Judy McLeod said, well, you know, what's your measly identity when you can raise $1 billion? Judy concludes by saying, you don't need your identity. After all, Obama didn't need his.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for that.
No two ways about it.
You know, you mentioned a comment he made the other day, maybe a couple weeks ago, as a matter of fact, that he said he who needs the Congress when he can just write his own executive orders. He has no need for them.
But
where in God's name are the people who want to impeach this person? How come there's no proceedings? I mean, seriously, that's impeachable. That's treason. It just astounds me. And no one's getting angry. It's just amazing how dumbed down people are.
Oh, yeah.
That's why Brent brought up that incident in the medical department, because see how calloused we have become. We've just lost. We've lost our sense of conscience and outrage.
So much for this being a so-called Christian nation.
It makes me
wonder. And you and I have had this conversation. To me, the majority of the alleged Christians in this country, it's with a small c, not a big one.
I concur.
There is a big difference. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here in the flesh.
Sound like got cut off.
No.
We got a few minutes to go here.
Good.
What else is what's cooking for next time we get together? Where we want to pick up?
Well, I'm looking at going into one of the conventions and just seeing what's going on in the technology. I would like to go to the convention out in Indianapolis next month or later on this month and report it to you. If not, we're going to be I'm keeping the pulse on the New York and state and PA state budgets and whether or not they're going to downsize, lay off, or privatize, because they're not talking to anybody. The prison guards, the nurses, medical department, all the contracts are up, and no one's talking or negotiating the contracts, and they're due to expire.
Really?
June
That's
30.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well, let's talk about privatization for just a moment. We've got time for probably this one last subject.
Sure.
But this is kind of interesting. You know, the post office is probably one of the best examples. Another one might be the Department of Education, but let's use the post office.
Okay.
More and more over the years, there's been discussion about it's time for the post office to be completely privatized, take it out from underneath the thumbnail of the government, and let's face it, they lost, what, $8 billion last year, et cetera. How does that equate to prisons? Should prisons privatize, or should they remain in the hands of a government who's probably more corrupt than the private people that are running it?
Honestly, Jeff, the studies have been showing that privatization is just a nightmare. These people are profit-oriented, so they have the incentives to do the absolute minimum and charge the maximum. And again, there's very little oversight. Once the jail doors close, public scrutiny comes to a cessation. You have certain prison societies and some groups that come in, but they are given a laundered perception of what goes on. Just remember what happened during the war, back with Germany and the concentration camps, and how they used to prep up the prison just before the Red Cross people showed up. Those things happen in prison all the time. They put the spit and polish to things a couple of days before these people were supposed to come in, because they have to have pre-authorization, and they put on the best face they can. They definitely put the lipstick on the pig. I've seen it time and time again, and it's just amazing. Every time they had a major inspection or some outside source coming in, they always managed to, whenever they had to go to the medical department, they always managed to make sure that it happened on my day off.
Wow.
And I asked them, I'll be more than happy to come in and talk to these people on my own time.
For a price, always for a price.
They never wanted me there, because they knew one thing's for sure. I didn't care about being promoted, which made me a loose cannon.
Right. Well, you know, that was always part of the issue. I mean, you and I have known each other a number of years, and I remember the conversations you used to have with the idiots who went to the health club that you went to that didn't get it. And 4 and 5 years later, all of a sudden, they're scratching their Netherlands, wondering why all these things had happened that you've been trying to teach them all this time. It was not that much different in many of the horror stories. Bill and I used to talk 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd call him at work or he'd call me from work, and sometimes that was 2 and 3 in the morning his time where he was. And some of the stories that you shared with the prisoners, and, of course, you had drug addicts in there. You had a wide range of things. You had, you know, guards doing sex for favors. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's just that there's a multitude of businesses that go on behind prison walls, folks.
And we're talking staff now.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody's running their own store, Jeff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people just don't learn that lesson. If I can tell one, folks, learn this one lesson. Do your own time.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, we're out of time, speaking of which. Bill, thanks so much. As always, this has been a pleasure. This has been a good hour for us tonight. And
hey,
hope
Jeff,
you got some things across. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I may be here, I may not. You'll just have to tune in to find out. It all depends on what happens with the delivery man. So thanks for sharing your valuable time with us tonight. Till the good Lord sees fit to bring us together again. Without apology, I am out of here.
And I got you.
Ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral.